Okay, today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10 of the Gospel of Luke, and we're reading a few verses in the middle part of the chapter. Luke 10. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbour? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said to him, Take care of him, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Let her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. May the Lord bless the reading of his word for Jesus' sake today. Almighty God, we thank thee that we have the support of thy promises as we come to serve thee. We thank thee that you have said that ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I ask thee, Lord, this day, that in this meeting, and for these few moments of preaching, that you'd give to me the grace and the love and the power of God, the Holy Spirit himself. And in the ministry and for that ministry, to receive thy Spirit, give first the cleansing of the blood of Christ, that I might be purged and ready to handle thy holy and sacred word. Lord, this day, help us, meet us at the point of our need, and may revival visit this house today. Come, we pray, into our midst. Suddenly visit us. Visit us, Lord, with revival, stricken with coldness and death. Where is our hope of survival? Save in thy life-giving breath. We need thee, Lord, this day. May we sincerely and earnestly seek thee. And may we know that those that seek, find. And those that knock, it shall be opened to them. Hear us through Christ, and for Christ's sake, we ask it now. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke and to the chapter number 10. I will make reference to the verses that we read earlier. And I'll also, in the course of the message, make reference to other passages in the New Testament which all have a bearing upon our subject. The character that we're looking at today is a woman called Mary. We have looked at Martha, her sister, and we've looked and examined her character on occasions before on the Sabbath day. But this morning, in this part of the meeting, and for the preaching today, we're looking at this woman called Mary. Now, just so as there's no confusion, we want to distinguish this Mary from the others. For as you read the New Testament, you'll find that There are no less than seven individuals called by the same name. First of all, we know that there's Mary, the mother of Christ, the virgin mother of Jesus. Then there's another lady, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Mary, the wife of Cleopas, is another. Mary, the mother of John Mark. Mary, the female believer in Rome, who was a helper of the Apostle Paul. There was Mary Magdalene, who had that wonderful deliverance in her life from Christ. And there's Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus at Bethany. It's the very last of those. Mary, the sister of Martha, and Mary, the sister of Lazarus, the lady that we're looking at this morning. And you'll notice in all the references that we're going to refer to, the text that we refer to, that Mary, so frequently as you read about her, is found at the feet of Jesus. Of course, that's a subject in itself, isn't it? The feet of Jesus. Feet of Jesus, a theme for our contemplation meditation today. The first time that the feet of Christ are mentioned, although his name is not employed when they're mentioned, is by inference in the book of Genesis chapter 3. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It wasn't just the voice that they heard. It was the voice of the Lord walking. It wasn't just the voice of the Lord standing stationary in one place and calling to them, but walking, getting closer to them as he came, closer still. And as he came, his voice continuing to sound, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. His feet are implied there. He was coming toward them. And he was coming to give them a promise. The promise that despite their sin and their most solemn condemnation for that sin, he was coming to give them a promise that he would crush the serpent under his feet. Thou shalt, or he shall, bruise the serpent's head. The implication, or inference there, the implication is that he refers to his feet. By his power, that is. By his almighty power, he would crush, he would destroy, once and for all, the power of the evil one. And when we come to the New Testament, we find another reference to the feet of Jesus in Revelation. A wonderful unfolding to us of the glory of the exalted Christ. Beautiful pictures painted for us there. It's his own revelation of himself, which has been given to us to understand how holy, how righteous, how glorious, how loving he is, how majestic he is. Eyes like a flame of fire. And feet, the Bible says, as burnished brass. And John, as he contemplated the whole countenance of Jesus, the Bible says that he fell at his feet as dead. The feet of Jesus make reference to his power. They also make reference to the awe that comes. Remind us of the awe that comes to us when we contemplate him. And the only thing that we can do is fall at his feet, take a lowly place. So the feet of Jesus is a large subject in itself, and it's one that we do well to contemplate. Mary is found so frequently at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Martha, her sister, in this passage, Luke 10, is so very busy with other things. Martha is so busy in serving that she has, in practical terms, really ignored Christ, and so missed out of the blessing of personal, close communion with the Savior. But while Martha labours, there is this lady called Mary who listens. She sat at the feet of Jesus, hearing what he had to say. It is at the feet of Jesus that we see Mary forgetting her troubles and cares. If you look at verse 40 of Luke 10, verse 40 says, Martha was cumbered, but while Martha was cumbered, Mary had done something opposite to that. She had chosen the good part. Instead of dwelling upon her burdens, instead of taking them to heart, Mary had taken her cares to Jesus. She was at his feet. It was at the feet of Jesus that she found relief from her cares. And if you and I could only see that our Lord Jesus Christ is far, far more deserving than our great responsibilities are and all the burdens of life are, then in communion with Him, we would enjoy the peace, a wonderful peace that Mary enjoyed that day. While others were troubled, her sister notably, she was free from care and anxiety. When we focus our attention upon Christ, then something happens. When our minds are brought into captivity, as the New Testament says, to the mind of Christ, it is certain to have a transforming effect. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto Him. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall fill your hearts. Shall fill your hearts. A wonderful promise. At the feet of Jesus, therefore, Mary could be free from her cares. At the feet of Jesus, listening to what He had to say, Mary could also feed her soul. Verse 39 puts it like this. She heard His word. She heard the word of Jesus. The very word of the one who had spoken of His own love and His own unique concern for individuals in the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's the word of the one who has not only illustrated His love in that parable, it's the word of one who knows that everything is under His control and that He can reveal the Father to others. Verse 22, all things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son, who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. At the feet of Jesus, as she was listening, her soul was being fed on the word of Jesus, as by that word Jesus revealed the Father to her. You know, the most unique thing about Christianity in the Bible is this, that God is revealed in the Bible and by the Christian religion in a way in which He's not spoken of in other religions or religious books. God is portrayed as a loving, as a tender-hearted Father. The psalmist even recognized, he said, like as a father pitieth the children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. And this divine pity from the heart of the Father was being unfolded to Mary as she listened and fed her soul on this revelation of the Father's care from glory. Martha was taken up with physical nourishment. Mary was taken up with spiritual nourishment. And there's a lesson there for us too, isn't there? Many Christians are weak because they never take time apart from other things, even legitimate things, to come into the Lord's presence and to feed on Him. Just coming into the Lord's presence and feeding on Him. Desire, the Bible says, the sincere milk of the Word. Why? As a mere academic exercise, that we might gain a heart head knowledge? No, for something far better. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And we need to take the place of humility, bowing before Christ, acknowledging His Lordship, coming, recognizing that He is more important than anything else, and then the Word of God will come to us with that freshness which feeds our souls. At the feet of Jesus, Mary not only fed her soul, Mary was not only free from her cares, at the feet of Jesus, Mary found herself. There was fulfillment, and there was contentment in her heart. Something which money cannot buy for any of us. Fulfillment and contentment. Fulfillment and contentment. Mary has chosen that good part. What's the best gift that anybody can have? What's the best possible thing you think that you can possess, whether young or old, whether in early stages of life or grown up in an adulthood? What's the best thing that any person can have? It is undoubtedly the gift of contentment. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. You are rich. I tell you this morning, in the authority of this book, you are abundantly, superabundantly rich if you have that godliness with contentment. Yes, and we get it from Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can give it to us. At the feet of Jesus, therefore, was the place of consolation. She could free herself from her cares. She could feed her soul. And at the feet of Jesus, Mary could find herself. The thing that she needed most, she had in the place of consolation at the feet of Jesus. The feet of Jesus is not only the place of consolation, but if you turn over to Mark, John chapter 11, you discover that the feet of Jesus is the place of supplication. And that's illustrated, I think, not only in this lady's life, but in the life of others. So often we read in the Gospels of people who are anxious about themselves, or anxious about others, and they're coming, and they're at the feet of Jesus. Remember the poor man that besought Jesus for the deliverance of his child? That one that was so dear to him fell at the feet of Jesus. Here is Mary at the feet of Jesus, and as she bows at the feet of Jesus, she prays. John 11, verse 32. Then Mary, when she was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now you all know all the story, the details to the story very, very well. You're familiar with it. Lazarus was sick. The Lord heard news. The Lord waited. And in that period of waiting, the Lord permitted, in his sovereign will and purpose, that Lazarus should die. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't that Jesus didn't care. It wasn't that he wasn't concerned. It wasn't that he couldn't be bothered. It wasn't for any of those reasons. But verse 4 of John says in chapter 11, for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. That's why he waited for Lazarus to die. He also waited not only for him to die, in order that he might glorify himself in working a miracle, and thereby vindicating his ministry and showing that he was the true Messiah. He did it for another reason. He did it to test the heart of Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary. And the interesting thing is that in John 11, in contrast to Luke 10, which we've been looking at already this morning, in John 11, the first one to come to Jesus of the two women in his family wasn't Mary, but Martha. And Mary sat, the Bible says, Mary sat alone in the house. But when she heard that Jesus was come, verse 28, her sister came and said, Mary, Mary, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon, not waiting any longer, but as soon as she heard that, the Bible says, she came quickly and came unto him. And when she came where Jesus was, where do we find her? We find her at Jesus' feet. Mary was sitting still in the house, but when she heard the word of Jesus, she came immediately and came to his feet, listening at the feet of Jesus. Now she's praying at the feet of Jesus. Mary obeys. She comes to Jesus. She falls at his feet. And there she pours out her heart to him, as we are all called to do in the Word. We might be critical of the things that she said. Lord, if. But I would suggest to you that if we were in the position of losing a brother so tragically, and knowing that one could have been there to keep him from dying, and didn't turn up in time, according to our wisdom, then we would say the same things. Lord, if. I remember attending a funeral years ago in Ulster of a young lad, a young Christian from a Presbyterian church, connections with one of our free Presbyterian churches. And I went to the funeral of the Presbyterian church, and the minister preached upon these two words, Lord, if. Now, Mary said this, Lord, if. How often have we said it in our hearts, if not with our lips? Lord, if this had only happened, then things might not have been quite so bad. Lord, if circumstances only been arranged this way, then I might be a happier individual than I am at the present. Lord, if. As he preached upon the passing of that young boy, he said, the word if, that's the word that hurts. The word Lord, that is the word that helps. The word Lord helps, the word if hurts. If only this, that, and the other thing had happened. If only this had happened. If I hadn't been so foolish, as he was describing the situation, referring to the parents, if I only hadn't given my son the keys to that car to go out that night, if I'd only done, Lord, if, and sometimes we turn the responsibility on the Lord, Lord, if you had done things differently, and I would suggest to you we would all have spoken the same thing, the same way to Jesus. Because we're all human, exactly like Martha and Mary. Lord, if. Isn't it a wonderful thing that she was allowed to do it? And the Lord encourages us to come with our brokenness of heart and say, Lord, here it is. I can't understand it, but I bring it to you. And I bring it to your feet as I pray and as I supplicate you. The Lord Jesus called his people to himself in the hour of bereavement. He cares for them. The psalmist again said, though the Lord be high, if men and women in this nation only realized how high God was, you could be sure that there would not be the level of spiritual indifference and moral corruption that there is. The Lord is high. But they need something else more than that. We need also to realize, don't we, that the Lord is also lowly. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. What did he say of himself? On the only occasion when he spoke about his heart, he said, I am meek and lowly in heart, so come to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Come to me, and you'll find rest. Come and pray. Supplicate the throne of grace. Call on my name. Bow before me at my feet, as it were. J.C. Ryan said, the help of all friends is to be enlisted and sought, but still, after all, the first thing to be done is to come to the feet of Jesus and cry out to him. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord Jesus is actually interested in us? But I look at the world around, says David. I look at the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe that God has made, and I look at myself. I'm nothing compared to it. And I say, Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But he is. And I want to encourage you today by saying the Lord is personally, deeply, practically interested in you and in your concerns and in your hurts and your brokenness of heart. As you bring it to him in prayer, the Lord Jesus is interested in these women and in Mary. The Lord Jesus is not only interested, the Lord Jesus in Luke or John 11 verse 34 to 42 was actually interceding for them. And if you look at those verses, after Mary prays, the Lord also prays, comes to the place, he weeps himself at the grave, and then he raises his voice in prayer, and he cries, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He was actually interceding on behalf of those that he loved. He was interested, he was interceding. And he not only interceded, but he intervened. Verse 34 and 44 says, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth. He was living again. What a tremendous miracle. In the resurrection and the life. When did it happen? It happened when Mary came to the feet of Jesus and prayed to him. And we need to take the lowly place in prayer too. We need to cast all our care upon him, and when we do, it's then that we learn the benefit of Jesus' prayers. The feet of Jesus is a place of consolation. The feet of Jesus is a place of supplication. One chapter more over a page or two, John chapter 12, because there Mary is again seen at the feet of Jesus. The chapter opens with these words: Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead. And Lazarus was one of them which sat at the table with Jesus. Martha was serving. Now look at the actions of Mary in John 12 verse 3. She took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. She's at the feet of Jesus. What's she doing at the feet of Jesus? She is worshipping him in her giving. The opening of her heart is not only... The opening of her heart is reflected in the gift that she gives to him. Yes, at the feet of Jesus was not only the place of consolation and supplication. The feet of Jesus was to Mary the place of adoration, place of worship, place of veneration, place of adoration. She was so, so grateful for this wonderful miracle which had been performed. So, so grateful for God's intervening in the life of her brother and in her family, working such a tremendous miracle to her comfort. She couldn't forget it. She had to show, not merely by lip, but in some practical way, her appreciation of Jesus. So she bows at his feet, and she's found at the feet of Jesus at the place of adoration. At the feet of Jesus, Mary made a sacrifice. Look at verse 3. That ointment, it wasn't cheap. The ointment was the equivalent, Bible scholars tell us, of no less than a year's wages for the average worker. What does that tell us? It tells us that Mary was willing to give up the thing which was most precious to her. Give up the treasure of her heart because of her love for Jesus Christ. Mary gave her best in adoration. Adoration is not just worshipping and singing. Adoration is not just joining in the hymning of heaven. Adoration is a practical thing. It's showing our love to Jesus in a tangible way. by giving our best. And I'm not talking merely about financially. I don't mean merely that. There's something which is far more precious, far, far more precious than any box of wine. And that is the heart and the treasure of the heart, our affections, our feelings, our compassions, our yearnings, our longings, our desires, giving them all up to Christ in adoration, giving the whole heart, not just part of the heart, but the entire heart and soul. What is a man profited, said Jesus, if he gain the world and lose his soul? The best thing that you can do is give it up entirely to Christ. In memory of his love, in the feet of Jesus, the place of adoration, Mary made a sacrifice. And those who know the Saviour are called in the Word of God to do the same. Jesus Christ, our Saviour, is worth it all, isn't he? Isn't he? All our devotion, to giving up our time and our heart and our energies, what energies he gives to us, he deserves to have them back. The giving up our time, our tithes, our talents is what he deserves. And whatever we give, whatever limited capacity we have to give, whatever way we give, I would suggest to you, none of it is wasted, because it's all given to him. There's an old line which goes like this: love is the true economist. She breaks the box and gives her all, yet not one precious drop is missed, since on his head and feet they fall. The place of adoration, Mary made a sacrifice. At the feet of Jesus, Mary also gave up herself. She was not afraid of what others thought. This wasn't done in a corner. It was done before her brother, it was done before her sister. And if you read the passage right, it was done before others. Judas was there. Verse 4. The other disciples were there, as this passage and other related passages tell us. And the house was full of individuals that day, but not privately in a corner, not in a private interview with Jesus or a private meeting with the Son of God did she show what she felt, but before others, before her family, before her loved ones, before others, those that loved Jesus and those that had no feelings to Jesus and those whose feelings against Jesus were harsh and cruel, before them all, she didn't care. She was unselfconscious in her adoration. When we come to the feet of Jesus, we will get to the place where we do not care what others think of us because we love him. That's the best place to be. The best place to be. That's where the minister needs to be. And it is an easy thing, even for those that stand behind the sacred desk, to be so concerned about their reputation, what others might say, that they just hold back. They just hold back that little. I don't want to be like that. I want to have enough of the experience of the love of Jesus in my heart just to give everything to him when I preach and minister his word. Tell us, are you at that place? Are you at the feet of Jesus where you forget about yourself and what others think because you love him? That's the best place for us all to be. And I put it to you that if we're at that place, it'll not be too long before the Lord sends revival to his church. At the feet of Jesus, Mary also made a statement. She was telling others that Christ was paramount. She was showing that she was not ashamed to be associated with him. Not ashamed one iota. Ashamed of Jesus? Can it be a mortal man ashamed of thee? Paul said, therefore I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What have we got to be ashamed of? After all, the Lord's not ashamed of us. Hebrews 10 says this, 11 says this. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Imagine God calling us his brothers. That takes some beating, doesn't it? He's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Well, let's come to the place, the lowly place, and let's never be ashamed of him. Let's, by our actions and the way that we live, make a statement and say, yes, we're committed to him. All my lasting joys are found in thee. Jesus, thou art everything to me. Where do you find yourself today? Are you sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him and learning? Loving him? Devoted to him? He's worthy of it all, you know. First John tells us, doesn't it? We love him because he first loved us. We remember the cross. We remember the blood. We remember the pierced hands and side. We remember the witness of his being the Messiah, his tender love for those that crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We remember that he endured it not merely for them, but we remember that he endured it all for us. And we say again, as the Spirit of God comes upon us even now, we love him because he first loved us, and we take our place at the feet of Jesus. Lord, we thank you today for thy word. We just ask you that these few simple thoughts might be blessed to us all. We pray, Lord, that we might do what Mary did, and that your will might be done, and that you might bring us to the place that we're at the feet of Jesus, a place of calm, a place of relief, a place of devotion, a place where we forget about ourselves, and where the Lord is honoured by what we say, by what we do, and by what we live, and in the giving of what we can give to him. Bless us now today, and help us as we continue to sing. In Jesus' name, amen.